Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, good afternoon and welcome. For those of you who are with us for the first time, as Justin said, welcome. We're really very excited to have you with us today as we continue this conversation, Circles, and looking at healthy community. How do we build healthy community, this thing that at some level all of us crave, this thing that those around us need, this thing that Jesus, as we looked at it last week, says is the thing that will demonstrate to the world more than anything else how he has loved us in the same way that he loved Christ. How do we build community? Not just where we know about one another, but where we actually know each other. Not just where we're known, but where we're known and loved. For the past few weeks, we've been walking through this. If you haven't been with us, you can watch online as we've kind of laid the foundation leading up to today. And for the past few weeks, we've looked at how, at the example of Christ, and how Christ, as he steps into our lives, he exposes our tendency to hide. He calls us and reveals to us how in our lives, even though there may be a desire to be known, there's a natural tendency for us to hide and for us to put up facades and for us to keep people at a controllable distance. He calls it out, but he doesn't just call it out, but then he also challenges us with the reality that for him it wasn't okay for there to be distance, but instead he walks away from everything that was rightfully his and all the glory and honor because he believed that community and love and connection and being known and loved, that this was valuable, unbelievably, exceptionally valuable. And over the past couple of weeks, we've seen how the example of Christ, it challenges the priority that we give to the way that we love one another, the way that we're loved by one another, the community that we're experiencing. And then last week we saw even more as again in the example of Christ, we saw how he risked and sacrificed and invested for this to be a reality. And for the past couple of weeks, we've just been challenging ourselves of, okay, do we actually believe that it's worth it? Do we believe that it's worth it enough to risk opening up? Do we believe that it's worth it enough to risk actually being known and working to make this a reality in our lives, in the life of our family, in the life of our city? Do we believe that it's worth it? And Christ is calling us over and over and over again to change the way that we think and to stop hiding and to realize, no, this is worth it. This is something unbelievably valuable that you and I can experience. And up to this point, really, everything that we've talked about has been foundational. We haven't gotten practical at all. And some of you have been thinking, because every week I keep telling you, we're going to introduce this thing called circles, and we're going to talk about these circles of relationship. I was having a conversation with someone this week who basically told me, would you get to it already? Like, come on, we've been talking about the foundation. Would you finally just, what are you talking about, circles of relationship? And the good news is that today we get there. And today we get to build on the example of Christ that we've been looking at and this foundation of the value and priority that community has and start to look at how, okay, now that we see the value of it, and maybe some of us are beginning to believe the value in it, now how do we do it? Okay, you've convinced me that it's necessary. You convinced me that we need it, that we should be willing to risk and sacrifice and invest in it. But how do I do it? Because again, you can't just walk into your dinner group. You can't just walk into work tomorrow and just open up everything about who you are. It doesn't work that way. It won't work well that way. So how do I do this? How do I begin to actually develop healthy community? And I think it's here where, again, God is stepping into our lives in just an amazing way as our Heavenly Father coming alongside of us and saying, okay, let me teach you. Let me instruct you in how to be able to do this. And throughout the New Testament, I think he uses the lives of those who follow him to demonstrate this for us. And when you look at the examples that we have in the Old Testament, that we have in the New Testament, I think that one of the things you see consistently demonstrated as they were working to build healthy communities is this thing that I refer to as circles of relationship. I think that Paul is probably the one who demonstrates it best for us. And if you walked in this morning and someone invited you and they keep inviting you, and so you decided to come just so that they'll stop inviting you, but you hate church, Paul is your guy. Okay? Because Paul, he hated the church. He didn't want anything to do with the church. As a matter of fact, he tried to destroy the church until he encountered Jesus. And if you get nothing else out of today, please get this. Here at Hoboken Grace, we don't believe that Hoboken Grace is going to change your life. We don't believe that the people who are sitting next to you are going to change your life. We believe that only Jesus changes lives. And when you encounter Jesus, everything changes. And that's what happened for Paul. Paul encountered Jesus and everything changed, and all of a sudden he went from being someone who is trying to destroy the church to someone who is giving his life to share this message of Jesus with anyone and everyone who would listen to him. And as a result, he changed the world. One of the unique things about Paul is that we have more of his story than anyone else when it comes to the New Testament. The book of Acts tells us a lot about his journeys and the people that he traveled with, specifically the relationships that he had. As he writes to the churches, oftentimes he talks about the relationships that he has with different individuals and friends and colleagues and these different circles of relationships in his life. And so as a result, because of the fact that we have so much exposure to his life, we're able to learn a lot from Paul. And I think we're able to learn a lot specifically as it pertains to the relationships in our lives. And how to be able to live out this dream that God has called us to, this dream that Jesus prayed for you and for me, that we would be able to experience community in the same way that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have community. And the scriptures talk about how the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that they know one another and they love one another, connected to one another in such a way that they're almost indistinguishable. And there's something inside of us that craves us, but everything in our culture and everything in our lives is pulling us away from that because you can't get that close. You can't be known that much. You can't love that way. It's too dangerous. But Jesus is calling us to risk and stepping into our lives and saying, no, community, being known and loved, being able to know and love, it's worth it. It's worth it. And then as we look at the life of Paul, I think we begin to see and we begin to learn some practical things about, okay, how do I practice this? How do I put this into place? Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to introduce you to what I believe are three circles of relationships in Paul's life. But today, I want to begin with what I think is the most important. And I think you see it demonstrated. We'll talk through it as we go through it. But I think it's the most important circle, especially as you're beginning this journey. I'm going to take you to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 18. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, we see the relationship that Paul has with an individual named Timothy. And Paul, as he's been planting churches and as he's been sharing this message of Christ all throughout Asia, basically what happens is that Paul plants a church and encounters this young guy named Timothy. And he takes Timothy under his wing, and Timothy begins to travel with him, and Timothy begins to learn from him, and they begin to develop a relationship. You see the relationship in 1 Timothy because Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy's become a pastor at one of the churches that they've planted, and so he's instructing him, and he's talking to him, okay, this is how you do this, and this is how you... And as he's teaching them, as he begins his letter to him, he talks about their relationship. Listen what it says in 1 Timothy. Timothy 1:18, it says this. It says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you. And as he's writing to Timothy, you can see he's opening the door for a second for us to be able to see their relationship. He said, Timothy, my son. Now, he's not actually his father. He's not actually his son, but they have this type of relationship. And as you look at this, whether it's Paul with Timothy, whether it's Jesus with the disciples, whether it's Paul's instructions to Timothy, or even throughout the entire New Testament, you see it demonstrated over and over and over again, the role that Paul plays in this verse, and I think which is probably the most important circle that you need to develop as we're looking at how do I develop healthy community, is the idea or the role or the circle of mentors. You need mentors. Or what we talk about here, when I talk about this with my staff, I'll ask them, okay, who are the Pauls in your life? Who are the Pauls in your life? And who are the people who are helping you, guiding you, directing you, speaking into you along this journey? You see it. You see it throughout the New Testament. Jesus in the life of disciples. What is he? He's playing that role of mentor. He's discipling them, building into them, speaking into them. Even when Jesus talks about the Father and the way the Father speaks into his life, he talks about it in this way. It's demonstrated over and over and over again. Paul with Timothy demonstrates it perfectly, where he's building into him. And not only is he building into him, but he speaks to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and says, I want you to do the same thing for other people. And the New Testament is establishing the priority of this role or of this circle of mentors. You need people who are speaking into your life. You need people who are advising you. You need people who are going to be able to help you navigate this journey. And when you come to the scriptures and you begin to look at, okay, what does it look like to have healthy relationships? I think one of the first things that God's calling us to, and one of the first circles that he's calling us to develop, is the mentor circle or the Pauls in your life. As a matter, from the beginning of the series, we've laid out this dream or this goal of getting to the end of the series and having one person who truly knows us, a great person to be known by, is a Paul or Pauls in your life. It's a great place to start when it comes to actually being known and stop hiding. You need to develop this. Now I understand, as we come into today, I understand. I don't think I have to do a lot to convince you that this is valuable in your life. I think our culture understands this. More and more the business world understands the necessity of a mentor and the reality that people grow better together in community. As I hear it all the time now, where as you get plugged into businesses are being very intentional, especially good businesses, of being able to take new employees and team them up with mentors and people to be able to speak into their life. Many of you have that in the business world, because our culture understands. I don't think I have to convince you that this is valuable. I don't think I have to convince you that God's calling us to this when you look at the New Testament. I don't think the question for us is, okay, do I need a Paul or someone like this in my life? I think the question for most of us is, how in the world do I find that? I mean, it's great that you tell me that I need it. I know that I need it, but I have no idea how to find it. What does that even look like? And again, this is, again, God stepping into our lives. And whenever God steps into your life, I know some of you think that he does this. I know some of you think that he steps into your life and says, listen, I want you to get there, and so now figure it out. I know, because sometimes, especially as teachers of God's word, we haven't done a good job of being able to walk people through. Okay, he's not just saying, get there. He's saying, I want to be able to walk with you there. And I want to teach you and instruct you in how to be able to get there. And the same thing is true when it comes to this idea of mentors. I don't think God just steps in and says, listen, you need to have people like Paul. You need to develop people like Paul in your life to be able to advise you and speak into you. And then he just leaves us to figure it out. I don't think that's true. I think throughout the scriptures, he's teaching us things to be able to look for and things to be able to pay attention to when it comes to developing and finding these people in our lives. And so this morning, what I want to do is I just want to walk you through some things that the scriptures teach us when it comes to developing this circle. And there's going to be three different circles that we talk about in our lives, but one of the most important ones, one of the ones that if you don't have it, you need to focus in on as we move forward, is developing the relationship of a mentor or mentors in your life to be able to speak into you as you're on this journey. Throughout the scriptures, God's teaching us. There are certain things that you need to pay attention to, certain things that you need to do, keys, if you will, to be able to find a Paul. One of the first ones is mentioned in the passage that we've been looking at in Ephesians, but is communicated a little clearly in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is actually another conversation about community. And in Paul's writing to the church at Rome and talking to them about their relationships with each other. And he says something really interesting at the beginning of it. But it's really important when we're talking about, okay, how do we find, or how do we begin to develop Paul's in our lives. Romans 12 verse 3 says this. It says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Do not think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. I used to really struggle with this passage. I didn't figure out, I was like, what are you calling us to do, Paul? Like, why do I, I'm measuring my faith, and what's the point here? And if you take it out of its context, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But if you understand it in the context of community, specifically when you look at it as it pertains to, okay, how do I develop Paul's in my life? I think it begins to make perfect sense, because what he's saying is this. He's saying, listen. You need to take a step back and be honest with yourselves about where you are. And I think one of the most important things when it comes to finding a Paul, or when it comes to developing this circle in our lives, is that we have to think soberly or honestly about ourselves. If you're here today and I started talking about finding a mentor, and you thought to yourself, you know what, I don't think anyone here could mentor me. He's probably talking to you, okay? He's probably talking to you. If every dinner group you've ever walked into, you've thought to yourself, these people are so far behind me, he's probably talking to you, all right? And he's calling us to think honestly about ourselves and where we are. He says, listen, we're all at different points on this journey, and you need to be honest with yourself about where you are. This could actually work both ways. For some of you, you're here, and I started talking about mentorship, and you're like, I don't need that. But then others of you, you thought to yourself, no one would ever do that for me. And you need to be honest with yourself about where you are. Some of you thought, I'm not worthy of anyone speaking into my life in that way. Both are lies. Both are lies. And Paul's saying, stop. We need to just take a step back and be honest about where we are. And for those of you who say, I'm not worthy of it, you're not being honest with yourself about where you are, because Jesus Christ gave his life for you, and Jesus Christ has called you into this family, adopted you in this family, and wants for this to be your reality as well. And he's calling you to this. And for those of us who are here who say, I don't need that, he says, no, you need to you need to be honest. And when you begin to be honest with yourself, you'll begin to find that growth in our lives can be really tricky, because sometimes we can grow substantially in one area of life and still be really, really weak in another. And so sometimes we'll grow tremendously and being able to trust God with our finances and what he's given to us, but then we're not growing at all when it comes to actually caring for and loving our family. And there's these different areas of life, and what Paul's saying to us is this. He's saying, pay attention. Listen, guys, you need to be honest with yourselves about where you are, because that's going to help you in community to be able to identify, okay, who are the people that I need to speak into me? And how do I begin to develop that in my life? And I think it starts here. You have to be honest about where you are. And then as you're honest about where you are, then you need to begin looking for, okay, how do I find people, specifically in those areas where I'm weak, how do I begin to find people who will speak into me? In just a second, we're going to talk about how to be able to identify them. But as you identify them, I think one of the other things that the Scriptures is teaching us, And make sure you don't miss this. One of the other things that the scriptures are teaching us is not only do we need to be honest with ourselves, but then as we begin to find people that we're like, you know what? I realize I'm weak in this area and you're not. You need to be willing to invest in this circle in your life. You need to be willing to invest in this circle in your life. Last week we talked about risk and investment. You need to be willing to invest in this. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 15 says this. It says, wise words are more valuable than much gold and many rubies. He says, I know all the things that you think are valuable. He says, let me tell you something. All those things, they don't even begin to compare to wisdom and wise advice. This isn't the only time in Proverbs. I probably could read you 30, 40 different times where in Proverbs it's talking about the value of wisdom. And he's saying, listen, when you find someone who's able to speak into your life with wisdom, you need to value it. But not just value it. It's this idea of investing in it. And I know usually when we think about investment, we think money. I'm not talking about necessarily investing money-wise, but as you find someone that you're like, oh, you know, I want to be able to learn from them. So I'm honest with myself about where I am. I realize, man, I'm really struggling with this. I can't really figure that out. But then I realize that I see someone who can do it really well. Justin was up here a little bit ago to kind of walk you through silence and to share with you what's going on this week. I remember a couple years ago, I'll never forget it till the day I die. I will never forget it. I remember, I think it was maybe our second conversation or something where I was able to be in his home and I watched the way that he communicated with his wife. And I know I communicate from stage, so you'd think that I'm a good communicator. I'm a terrible communicator, especially with my wife, okay? It doesn't take a lot for me to be sober and honest about that. My wife will let me know. But I remember, as I watched him talk to his wife, I was amazed. And as I watched that interaction, I thought to myself, I want to learn from that. And when you find yourself in those situations where you see, I want that person to speak into me as it pertains to, in that case, listening and how to be able to communicate better. And when you find yourself in those situations, I think that scriptures are calling us, listen, you need to not just pursue it, you need to invest in it and do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to be able to have that person speak into you. Whatever time, energy that it requires. You know, I said it's not just about money, but just a funny story. I remember when we first started Hoboken Grace and we were planting here, I identified certain church planters throughout the New York metro area who were just doing a phenomenal job. And I wanted them to be able to speak into what we were doing. And I wanted to be able to just kind of call them up or shoot them emails as I encountered different things along the way. But I also knew that their churches had kind of grown significantly, so they were really busy, and it was difficult to get a hold of them and difficult to get a meeting with them. But I knew that I wanted their advice and their counsel, and so I just started emailing them, and I figured, yeah, I'll just do whatever it takes. So I emailed all of them, and I said, listen, I know that you're busy, but I really would like for you to speak into what's happening here in Hoboken as we plant this church. So you just tell me whatever day, whatever time, lunch, dinner, you just tell me your favorite restaurant, and I will buy you lunch or dinner anytime you want. It was amazing how many responses I got. And you know what was interesting about it? A lot of them responded back and said, don't worry about dinner or lunch, but I can grab coffee at this time. And they responded to me when they wouldn't respond to anyone else. But what I had communicated, and I think the reason that why they responded to me is because in my email I had communicated to them, I value your input. And I had honored and respected them. And in that way, I had invested in this. And I think the scriptures are calling us to look at the value of that Paul in our life and to change the way that we interact with it, to invest in it and to honor them. And this goes even to our interaction with them. To be humble to be a learner. If you find that it seems that the people who are speaking into your life, they just keep leaving you, and you think, man, I've been trying to develop that kind of a relationship, and I want people to do that in my life, and you've had a couple of people who have done so for a little while, but they keep leaving you, one of the things you might want to look for or look at is if you're investing, not necessarily in honor and respecting them, but are you actually investing in doing what they tell you to do? If you're not willing to be teachable and to actually do what they tell you to do, one of the things you're going to find about Paul's is that they're eventually just going to stop telling you. So you have to be willing to do what they call you to do, to listen to them, be intentional in your time with them. I think we have to be honest about where we are. We have to invest when we find that wisdom. I think number three, we have to create time for them. Another passage in Proverbs where it's talking about the value of this. It says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. You have to make it a priority. You have to make it a priority. And some of you have people who want to speak into your life, but you don't make your time with them a priority. And I think Proverbs is telling us that that's foolish. You have to make it a priority. This becomes really difficult. And just for a second, let me talk to those of you who are leaders. And maybe you're investing in other people. One of the things that can happen when you begin to invest in other people is that people will begin to consume all of your time. And one of the first relationship circles that will begin to disintegrate in your life or begin to disappear in your life is the relationships that you used to have with the Pauls in your life. And they just begin to get pushed out. And it almost feels selfish to make it a priority to spend time with them and to have them speak into you. And you think, no, I should just be building into others. Listen, the people that you're building into need you to make it a priority to be around the Pauls in your life. Again, I think this is a principle that's demonstrated throughout the New Testament. Jesus understood that his disciples needed for him to take time to be with the Father. The disciples knew that the people that they were investing in, that they needed to take time to listen to the Father and to Christ. You need to make it a priority to create time for them. Not just hope that it will happen, but to create time for it to happen. To be intentional about it. It should be one of the most intentional relationships in your life. We have to think soberly about where we are. We have to invest in it. We have to create time for it. Another thing is that we've got to leave behind some of the myths that surround it. We've got to get rid of some of the myths that surround it. I think one of the greatest myths that surrounds this circle in our lives is that it's supposed to be filled by one person. I only need one. Sometimes, I see it happen all the time. And we think mentor. I need a mentor. Listen to what this passage says. Listen to what this passage says in Proverbs chapter 11. It says this. It says, without wise leadership, a nation falls. And then listen to the end of it. It says, there is safety in having many advisors. But we think I need a mentor. And what we're saying is, I need a Superman. I need someone who has all the answers and has everything together, who's going to be able to answer any problem I have anytime. Sometimes I'll have college students, because of the fact that we're you know, a younger church. I have a lot of college students where this happens, and they'll come up to me and say, Chris, I just wanted to ask you, will you be my mentor? And they say it in that singular focus, and I can see it in their eyes, and I say to them, absolutely not. Because I know that it's going to be a 45-hour-a-week job. And basically, what we're doing is we're looking for that one person. And they're going to just pour their life into me. And their life is basically going to be all about me. And we're looking for that, the one mentor who's going to change our lives. The scriptures teach us something completely opposite. They say, no. You don't need one advisor. It says there's safety in many advisors. If you just get this about what we're talking about mentors, get this. Listen. This is one of the best pieces of advice that I've ever received. You need at least four Pauls in your life. At least four. You say, I can't even find one. Part of the reason why you can't find one is because you're looking for someone to give you 20 hours a week. And every person who's involved in your life or invested in your life just gets burnt out because they're the only person you call. And you call them about every problem. And they can't handle it. Some of you are scared to speak into other people's lives because you think that that's what you're supposed to become. That's not a biblical idea of mentorship. This is a biblical idea is many advisors in speaking into your life. One of the best things that I began to do about 4 or 5 years ago is that I began to develop mentors based upon strengths. If I want to talk to someone about how to communicate and listen, I'm going to call Justin. I am. I'm going to say, Justin, what? And I'm going to talk to Justin about it. I've got a guy named Brian. Brian's my coach. If I want to talk to someone about how to be able to lead a staff or how to be able to church planting and that type of thing, I'm going to call Brian. But if I have a problem in my personal relationship with Christ, I'm never going to call Brian. If I call Brian would tell me to call someone else. But I got a guy named Roger in my life. And Roger's poured into my personal spiritual journey with Christ. When it comes to my family, how to be able to love my wife and my interaction with my kids, I'm going to call my dad. And there's a variety of people or a variety of Pauls that I've developed in my life. And they have different strengths. And rather than stepping into someone's life and saying, will you sacrifice your life for me and be my mentor? What we need to do is to be able to identify, man, I want to be able to do that like them. Some of you do this in the business world. You're like, man, I want to be able to network like them. So you ask them to teach you to network. You don't ask them to teach you everything about life. And that's what we need to do as far as our spiritual journey as well, to be able to step in and say, listen, you know, I want to be able to interact with my boyfriend like you do. I want our relationship to look like that. And so when I have relationship questions, do you mind if I just call you? You see how much easier that is? See how much better that is? It's not, will you take responsibility for my life from here on forward? It's much more manageable. And the Bible says it's wiser. God says, this is what it's supposed to look like. Many advisors develop a circle. This is why I keep saying Paul's, not Paul. You need to develop a circle. Another myth is that they're going to solve all my problems, or that they're going to, that in some way, shape, or form, they're going to be the be-all, end-all for me, especially when it comes to the love that I crave, the acceptance that I crave, the value that I crave. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 23 where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this. He says, "Don't let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are equal as brothers and sisters. And don't address anyone here on earth as father, for only God in heaven is your spiritual father." Jesus is talking to them. He says, listen, you need to understand something. As this family develops, there's only one dad. There's only one dad. It's him. And some of us, because of the fact that we come from broken situations, and all of us crave it, right? We crave love and acceptance, and we go to our mentor, and what we're really looking for them to become is to be our dad, and to be the one who provides the love and acceptance that we long for. And God says, no, that's going to be a huge mistake. You need to make sure that the one that you address as Father is Him. And He's the one. He's the one who's going to be able to provide the love and acceptance. You don't want a mentor who has all the answers. You want a mentor who points you to the one who has the answers. He says, you got to be careful. This myth that they're going to, that in some way, shape, or form, that they're going to be a God in your life. Another myth is that they're all leaders, that they have to be leaders. I see this happen a lot where when I start to talk to people about developing Pauls, they always look for people in leadership positions. You're making a huge mistake. Some of the greatest mentors and some of the people who can speak into your life the best, they don't have the gift of leadership. But they're gifted in other ways, and they're going to be able to speak into your life as it pertains to how you care for the people around you, how to be able to interact with life in a way that's life-giving as opposed to destructive. And some of the greatest mentors in my life, I think of my grandfathers, neither one of them had the gift of leadership, but they were unbelievable. Unbelievable men when it came to following God. It's a huge mistake that we make. Another mistake that we make is that they'll find me. And so we're just kind of sitting back and waiting. When are they going to find me? Remember what it says in Proverbs. It's more precious than gold and precious rubies. You need to initiate. You need to find them. There's all sorts of myths. We have to debunk the myths. And then probably most importantly, we have to change, I think for some of us, what it is that we're looking for or how we identify them. Especially in the church, we have a problem with this because in the church, we're always looking for people who are the most knowledgeable. We're always looking for people who are the most knowledgeable. And we have this equation in our minds and we can't get rid of it, that the people who know the most are the most spiritual, or the people who know the most are the ones who know God the most. But Jesus is calling us to a different way of evaluating this, a different way of looking at this. And this is so important. We talked about this at the beginning of the year, that we need to change the way that we evaluate our own lives, change the way that we evaluate those that we follow. And so in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples about this, and he says this. He says, you can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way that they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. He says, what you need to pay attention to is the fruit in their life. Now, biblical fruit is twofold. One is, how do they influence people toward Christ? Right? Is their influence drawing people to Christ? And then two, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. And Jesus is saying, listen, this is what you need to look for. Look for fruit. Don't just look for information and knowledge. Look for fruit. And when you see fruit, then you need to invest and do whatever you can to have that person influence and advise you in your life. But we have to change what we look for. We have to look for fruit. And then most importantly, you have to look at, okay, who are they following? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as Paul's talking to the church about this, he says, and you should imitate me. Why should they imitate him? He says, you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Who are they following? If they're not following anyone, don't follow them. Who are they following? I think Jesus is calling us, as you're looking at developing this, this is so important, the pause in your life. Look for the fruit. Who are they following? Be honest with yourself about where you actually are and your strengths and weaknesses. And when you find someone who has that strength, invest in it. Do whatever you can to have them speak into you. Create time for it. Make it a priority. Leave behind the myth that one person is going to be that for you. Leave behind the myth that that person is going to be a God in your life. Leave behind all the myths and begin to develop a healthy group of Pauls in your life.
And God's instructing us and guiding us. Okay, this is what it looks like. This is how you begin to develop healthy community. And this is where we start. So I ask you, who are the Pauls in your life? This week, just take a couple minutes and just look at it. And you may be sitting here saying, I don't have any. You probably have some in some way, shape, or form. Or maybe you look at it and you say, I only have bad Pauls. That may be true. But who are they? And as we work through the next couple of weeks, we're going to get real practical. We're going to talk about the other circles. And we're going to talk about, okay, how do we begin to intentionally build this in our life? The dream that Jesus Christ prayed for, that we would have and experience and be able to demonstrate to the world the beauty of God's love because of the community that we have, it can actually be a reality for us. If we keep taking steps, say, okay, God, what does this look like? How do I do this? And he's going to lead us there. He's going to lead us there. Who are your Pauls? Let's start there. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that today as we evaluate and look at, okay, who are those advisors who are speaking into my life, the mentors in my life, I pray that your words and the words that you've shared with us of wisdom and Proverbs, that it would change the way that we interact with this. And I pray that as we look at what you're calling us to, that we would become excited at the possibility of what it could look like and the beauty of how you're teaching us to do it. I just pray that there would be a growing excitement in us of how this is going to impact our lives, not just tomorrow, but for years and years to come. As we begin to develop these circles, I pray that for those who are here, that they would be able to see the areas in which they're strong, in which they're weak. I pray that they would, that as we continue to move forward as a community, that they would be able to see, and we would be able to see in one another where we need for each other to speak into us, that we would pursue it and value it. And as a result, more than anything else, I pray that your glory and your love would be known by our city because of how we experience, demonstrate, and show your love. In Jesus' name. Amen.